Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 through 13, Ephesians chapter 2, 11 through 13. We had our Sunday school meeting this morning, and they were like, who's preaching this morning? Is it you or Bishop? And I said, it's me. They said, okay, we've got to do half of a lesson today. Amen. Well, bless our Sunday school department, Lord. Ephesians 2, 11 through 13. Good to see everybody here, and good to have Brother Alex home. Hallelujah. Amen. He's going to be here tonight, and he doesn't know it yet, but I want him to give us a word of testimony tonight. He's going to talk to us a little bit tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. Love Brother Alex. Love what God's doing in his life. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 11. Bible says, wherefore remember that ye being in times past, Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at the time ye were without Christ. Anybody remember the times you were without Christ? Times when you didn't look as good as you do now, or talk as good as you do now, or smell as good as you do now. But at that time, without Christ, being aliens. Somebody shout aliens. Somebody shout, I was an alien from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. If there's anything to shout about, it's the fact that now we are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Somebody clap your hands unto the Lord. Amen. We're going to talk a little bit this morning on this thought. Illegal aliens. So look at your neighbor and say, you were an illegal alien. Just don't tell Mr. Trump. Hallelujah. God bless you. May be seated in Jesus' name. Amen. He's talking about building walls. Well, we're going to build a wall so big the devil can't overcome it. The Bible says the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. Amen. But the Bible also talked about in verse 12 about strangers from the covenants of promise. And so reading that, my question always comes to mind when I read things like that is, what is a stranger and what is a promise? A stranger, as the definition is a person in whom one has no personal acquaintance, a newcomer in a place, a stranger in a town. And I think at one point or another that you have been a stranger, or you have known of a stranger. A promise is this, a declaration that something will or will not be done, an indication of future achievement, something that is promised. And I try very much to be a man of my word, to what I say and what I promise. I try my best to make it come to pass, because we live in a world of broken promises. We live in a world where their word is no more their bond. You really can't believe or trust in what they say. Somebody said it like this, don't tell me how much you care. Show me how much you care. Because there's a lot of people that deliver a different message behind the pulpit and outside the pulpit. I want to make sure that my life is a reflection everywhere I go. Thank God for the church. Thank God for Sunday mornings and Sunday night and Wednesday nights. But I don't want to just live for God on Wednesdays and Sundays. I want to live for God every day of the week. When I walk outside the doors of this church and I go to my job or go to the school or wherever I'm at, I want people to know that I practice what I preach. Why don't you look to that person and say, do you practice what you preach? So a stranger to a promise is this, a person who has no personal acquaintance to something that will or will not be done, a newcomer that has no indication of any future achievements. A person who does not belong to a family, a group, or a community, but is an outsider to a pledge. And he doesn't have any legal part to any assurance because really he's just an alien, an illegal alien. Ephesians 2:1 says this, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespass and sin, where in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." Can I tell you that before the Lord found you, you were dead in trespass and sin. You walked according to the course of this world. You walked according to the prince of the air, otherwise known as the devil, Lucifer, the enemy of your soul. And he made you a stranger to the things of God, to the voice of God, and to the Spirit of God, because the Bible said you walked in the spirit of disobedience, which is still prevalent today. 2 Timothy 3:1 says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents." And I know none of you parents have any disobedient kids. "Unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof." The Bible said, "From such turn away." We walked according to this. We chased for the battle after the lust of our flesh, through our conversations, through our desires, through our mind. We followed after our flesh and we became the children of wrath. We became strangers of a promise. We became foreigners of our Creator. We became illegal aliens to a promise. But thank God that he doesn't stop there, Brother Landry, because the Bible said in Ephesians 2:4, "But God," hallelujah, those two words always just resonate something inside of me, because you always see the bad and you always see tragedy, but it doesn't stop there. You'll always find a way out. Some of you need not to be dismayed or disillusioned or discouraged by what you're facing. You need to put your shoulders back and tilt your head up and say, "You know what, the battle's not mine, the battle's the Lord's. I know it doesn't look good. I know weeping may endure for a night, but God, he brings help. But God, who is rich in mercy, for in his great love wherein he loved us." Can I tell you, I don't deserve to be here, but God. I don't deserve to feel this, but God. I don't deserve to partake of this, but God. I deserve judgment. I deserve death, but there was a God who was rich in mercy for his great love. He loved us. He stepped on the scene. If there's anything to shout about, not the fact that you get another raise, not the fact you get another promotion, but there is a God that loves you. And there's a God that cares about you. There's a God that's concerned about you. Verse 5 says, "Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ." For by what? Grace are you saved. I'm going to tell you, you didn't get into this thing because of your looks. You didn't get into this thing because of your last name. and your bank account. I mean, there's a lot of people in this world that you know who I'm talking about. They come in, they're like, okay, let the party begin now. I'm here. Oh, you guys can have church now because I'm here. I hate to burst your bubble. You ain't all that and a bag of chips. The fact of the matter is, we know some of the skeletons that hang out in your closet. Don't let us come into your home and turn on a big spotlight and a searchlight and show everybody your flaws and your faults, because I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of them. And the world loves to magnify everybody else's problems. They love it. They love to dig up dirt. Well, you know what they said, and you know what they did? I understand that my past does not look good. And I know this is going to shock a lot of you. I know this is going to burst a lot of bubbles, but I'm going to tell you, I'm not perfect. I don't claim to be. I make mistakes every single day. But there is a God that loves me. There's a God that believes in me. There is a God that's concerned about me. The world wants to discard me. The world wants to kick me to the curb. But there's a God that says, no, I love that kid. No, I've got a plan for them. Hell's trying to tear them apart. Hell is trying to rip them apart. But God says, no, I love that individual. Oh yeah, tomorrow you ought to put the biggest smile on your face, bigger than Texas, and walk into your job and the people say, why in the world are you so happy? I got a God. I got a God that loves me. I don't care what you say. I don't care about the whole past of my whole life. I've got a God that loves me because his grace, it saved me. And you know what he went on to say? And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places. Strangers without a promise. Aliens without hope. A loser without a way out. A dead man walking to the grave. Yet he raised us up to sit in heavenly places. You want to know why I shout? You want to know why I get excited? I really do. Brother Jose, I try my best to look cool and be sophisticated, you know, and talk in a monotone, easy to understand, easy to listen voice. I really do. But I'm going to tell you, when I reflect on my past and I reflect on the wrong choices and bad decisions I made, and I understand that I don't deserve to be here, and I remembered what it was like to lay my head on a pillow and feel loneliness and feel guilt and depression, but now there was a God that came in on my scene, and I don't feel that anymore. I feel love and joy and peace. That's why I raise my hands. That's why I jump. That's why I shout, because there is a God that loves me. And the world says, you crazy to get excited about that. And yet, on this very hallowed day, there are some individuals that think this is crazy, but yet they'll be in stadiums that they'll spend hundreds and hundreds of dollars, and they'll spend hundreds and hundreds of more dollars on drink and beer and eats and all that stuff. And they get excited because somebody carried a pigskin across an end zone. And they'll high five people. They'll hug individuals. And they'll say, yeah, go Niners. Go Raiders. Go Cowboys. And they're excited over that. And they hug people they don't even know. And yet they have the audacity to look at us who are blood bought, who are redeemed, who are sanctified, where God has taken the bottle away and God has taken the drugs away, and yet they'll look at me and ridicule me to raise my hands and raise my voice over the fact that there was a God that loves me. Get excited about your football team. Get excited about your baseball team. But as for me and my house, we're going to get excited about him and what he has done. Hallelujah. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemies, for when I fall, I shall arise. Hallelujah. That's why I smile. That's why I put my shoulder back. Because you may not know this, but I'm royalty, baby. I am. I've got royal blood flowing through my veins. I don't deserve it, but because of an altar of repentance, because of a watery grave that the Bible said I was buried with him in baptism. And when I put on, when I went down and buried in baptism, I put on his name. And when I put on his name, the last name was not Grogan anymore. The last name was Jesus Christ. And if I put on Jesus Christ, and I understand, Brother Ramos, he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, then I understand that he's my daddy. He owns it all. He's got it all under control. Let the storms come. Let the winds blow, because I'm going to tell you, there is a God that's fighting for me. I love when we sing that song, Brother Ramos. God is fighting for me, pushing back the dark. Watch out. When the Holy Ghost gets on, Pastor, I like to start to sing. It may not sound good to you, but I know it sounds good to him. The world says you're off key and you're off tune, but God says, sing, baby, sing. Sing unto me a new song. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Why are you excited? Because everything's going good? No. Everything's terrible. I'm going to tell you, I'm driving cars that tires blow out all the time. I'm driving cars that lights come on and say, please, don't take me any further. I don't worship God because of how I feel. I don't worship God because of what has happened to me. I worship God because who he is and what he has done. And I'm going to tell you, if you'll get that revelation and you'll catch a hold of what I'm saying, you can worship God when you got bills that are due and no money in the bank. You can worship God when everybody's falsely accusing you. You can put your shoulder back and say, now, I've got a God that's fighting for me. I've got a God that's taking care of that. Go ahead and sit there if you want to. I'm going to stand up. I'm going to raise my hand. I'm going to raise my voice, because there is a God that loves me. And he gave me a promise. He said, wait and tarry unto Jerusalem until what? Ye be endued with power from on high. Wait for the promise of my Father. What was the promise? We've been talking about it the last few Wednesdays. What is the promise? It's his Spirit. Hallelujah. The Spirit of God. Now, having the ability to dwell in mankind. Oh, some of you say, well, I'm worthy for that. I'm not. I am not worthy of that. Someone said, my flesh is as filthy rags. But with God, when I get God in here, he can clean up this tank. He can clean up this. You know, my boy walks around with all these little lines on his tummy. Talks about six packs. Man, I got a lot of six packs in here. They're just covered by a tank. But yet God says, I love him. I'm going to tell you, there's a world that may not care about you. There may be friends that don't care about you. And There may be family members that don't care about you. But you better rest assured that there's a God that loves you. And there's a God that cares about you. And there's a God that wants to pour out the most precious gift that mankind could ever receive. He wants to give a promise that is greater and surpasses anything that the world can give. He wants to give you the power of the Holy Ghost. The power dwelling in an earthly body. The ability at any time of the day, I can lift up my voice and I could speak in a heavenly language. I'm telling you, when all hell's coming against you, you can sit in a heavenly realm as the Spirit begins to flow through you, and all of a sudden God's Spirit begins to speak through you, and you begin to speak in a beautiful language as the Spirit gives the utterance. And when you do that, it changes something on the inside of you. Can I tell you, this Holy Ghost that we have, it changes everything. Changes the way we talk. Changes the way we act. Changes our dress. It changes our attitude. There are people like, who are you? What have you done with Bubba? Where'd Bubba go? We like the cool Bubba that we could, you know, kick back and nothing wrong with Bubba, okay? What's Bubba done today? No, what I'm telling you is there's a world that wants to look at your past and say that's how you're always going to be. But you could step on the scene and say, you know what? The reason I'm different, the reason I'm changed, it's not because of who I am or what I've done. It's because of what He has done. And the reason I talk different, and the reason I act different, and the reason I dress different is because the Holy Ghost, it started something on the inside that transformed the outside. There's an old song that says, Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. Hallelujah. We've got a world that's twisted that wants to start on the outside first. It does not work. Talked about Sadducees and Pharisees. They had it down. Brother Roy, the Lord never got after them because they prayed. Never got after them because they gave. Never got after them because they went to the tabernacle. He got after them for the way they did it. So before you put on your holy, righteous clothes, and you look down at fallen man and say, I can't believe they're doing all that. I can't believe they're grabbing a microphone, they're singing and they're preaching. You know where they've been? Yeah, I know where they've been. So were you. And such were some of you. But now you've been sanctified. Now you've been washed. You've been forgiven. You've been saved. I'm going to tell you, you didn't do it, but God did. Before you beat yourself on the chest and say, I got that promotion, I got that raise. You didn't do it. God did. You didn't have that great family. God gave it to you. But many times we forget of the blessings of God. We take things for granted. We forget about where we used to be and what our kids used to be involved in. But now they come in, they want to come to church. They love the kingdom. They're connected. And you're saying, well, you know, it was better in Egypt. Really? Some of us have forgotten about what it was like to be lost. If we can take a trip down memory lane and open up those closets you don't want anybody to open up, and you can look at those skeletons and understand where you are now, you can say this: things may not be perfect, but God is. And He's done a great work in me. He's blessed my family. My family's not perfect, and I'm not perfect. Thank the Lord my wife's not running the aisles right now. But I'm going to tell you, we have been forgiven, and God does it. Ephesians 2:10 says this: for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Can I just tell you that when God saved you, he wanted to change you. When God picked you up, he wanted you to start walking right. We've got a world that says, he loves us just the way we are. We don't have to change. We can do whatever we want to do. You can, baby. But there's going to come a day that you're going to stand before God. And I preached a message years ago, and the books were opened. There's going to come a day when those books are opened, and there are going to be people standing there with the bated breath to hear the words, depart from me, I never knew you. And they're going to say, we came to church. We prayed. We worked miracles and wonders and signs. But God said, you did that for show. You didn't even believe what you were praying. Your life did not back that up. You were just a chihuahua, all bark and no bite. You only worshiped God when pastor was around. You only did what was right when you were with the youth group. But when you got away from the youth group and you got to the kids in your school, you talked different. And your coworkers at work, you act different. I'm going to tell you, when God saved you, he wanted to change you. The woman that was caught in the act of adultery. The world said, stone her, and all that stuff. And Jesus said, I don't condemn thee. He said, he that was out without sin, let him cast the first stone. Everybody ran, and we're like, yes. God's kicking out the accusers. He loves her. Yes, he does. But he didn't say, go your way and keep on shacking up. Go your way and keep on sinning. No. He said, go your way and sin no more. I'm going to tell you, it does matter what you pick up and what you leave behind at the altar. God wants to forgive you. God wants to cleanse you. God wants to take care of you. But it's only you that can truly change if you want to. He who he has quickened that was dead in the trespasses of sins. I'm going to tell you, there is a God that wants to change some things about you. But the only way he can is you've got to allow him to. There's an old song. I like the old song. Somehow when I preach it, just the old songs come up. I tell my wife, Brother William and Sister Miller and Sister Philpott, I'd like us to get together an oldies but goodies medley. Right? Anybody know All Fly Away? Some Glad Morning? We Shall See? All those great songs. What a day, what a glorious day that'll be. All those wonderful songs. You don't know, like I know, what the Lord's done for me. I didn't deserve this. But thank God, he picked me up. Thank God he has called me. I'm reminded every day that life is just progressing, whether we like it or not. Every day I walk it out the front door of my house and I try not to look to the left, because I look to the left and I see this dude with black hair and skinny. And I'm like, where'd he go? I'm not going to ask my wife anymore because I know what her answer is. You ate him. There's a world that doesn't care about you. But there's a God that loves you. So God has showed you mercy. And because he has showed me mercy, you know what I need to do? I got to publish this. I got to broadcast it. Because nobody can tell like you can what God's done in your life. And he's not through. You'll never come to a place in life where you could just say, you know what, I've arrived. We'll never come to that place. But there is a God that has loved us. And we've got to proclaim this. Ephesians 2, 11 says, "Wherefore remember that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called a circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at time were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, illegal aliens and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off, made nigh by the blood of Christ." What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I don't care what you've done. I don't care what you've been involved in. I'm here today to tell you that God can turn your life around and that God can change you. Somebody made this statement that you may be far from home, but you're not that far. I'm going to tell you what he did at Calvary is greater than any mistake that you've ever made. What he did at Calvary is greater than your past. Bible says where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. Well, shall we continue in sin? God forbid! Kill it, destroy it. Walk in newness of life. Understand the Holy Ghost, because it's a gift from God. It's a gift of a new start, a gift of a new beginning. Ephesians 2:18 says, "For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners or aliens, but fellow citizens with the saints and the household of God." No more strangers. No more illegal aliens. No longer an outcast. No longer a wall. But God has given us the ability to come boldly unto the throne of grace and make our petitions known. Clap your hands unto the Lord. Citizens of a higher place, a heavenly place, a better country. Hallelujah. Musicians are coming. I want to tell you about a boy by the name of John. John was not John Smith. I was like, "Oh, John, what's he do?" But John was a typical bad boy. His Christian mother, who hoped he would become a minister one day, died when he was 6 years old. John said that through much of his youth and life at sea, he said, "I loved sin and was unwilling to forsake it." There was a man that even told me one day that what he knew he was involved in was wrong. And he knew he needed to give it up. He knew he needed to live for God. But he looked at me and says, "I'm not willing to give it up because I enjoy it so much." That's what John said. He said, "I love sin and was unwilling to forsake it." He said, "At times I pretended to talk of virtue." He wrote, "Yet my delight and habitual practice was wickedness." He constantly renounced the Christian faith. He was flogged and demoted by the Navy for desertion, and he became depressed and considered suicide and thought of even murdering his own captain. He was quickly traded to work on a slave ship. And John said, "I was exceedingly wretched. I not only sinned with a high hand myself, but made it my study to tempt and seduce others upon every occasion." I think that's one thing in the Word where the Bible says, "I can't stand for people to quench the Spirit." In West Africa, he parted with a slave trader and negotiated with African chiefs to obtain slaves. Life was good, he recalled. "We lived as we pleased. Business flourished and our employer was satisfied." He said, "But one day another ship, Newton was reading casually to pass away the time, an edition of Thomas Kempis classic on the imitation of Christ. And he wondered, what if these things were true? He quickly shut the book. And John called himself a terrible blasphemer who had rejected God completely. And one night a violent storm flooded the ship with water. And fearing for his life, John surprised himself by saying, Lord, have mercy on us. Spending hours at the ship's helm, he reflected on his life and his constant rejection of God. At first, he thought his shortcomings were too great to be forgiven. But then he says, I began to think of Jesus, who loves everybody and who gave his life for a ransom for many. And so he prayed a simple prayer. It was this: God, if you could get me out of this, I'd give up this sinful life and I will serve you. Simple prayer. God came through, spared him and his crew. This man's name was John Newton. And John wrote a song that we all sing. It's called Amazing Grace. Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I've already come. 'Tis grace that brought me safe thus far, and grace that'll lead me home. The Lord has promised good to me. His word my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. Yea, when this flesh and heart shall fail and mortal life shall cease, I shall possess within the veil a life of joy and peace. And then he ends. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than we first begun. We were destined for hell, but God, who is rich in mercy, has saved us. I don't deserve it, Brother Matt. Don't deserve it, Mike. Thank God for love. Thank God for mercy. I know I was a stranger without a covenant. I know I was an illegal alien. I did not belong here, but there was a God that loved me. There was a God that went to a cross for me. There was a God that died. And he said these words: whosoever will, let him come unto me, and I will give him rest. Would you stand to your feet this morning? Would you raise your hands to a creator of this world, a creator of all worlds, a creator of mankind that was willing to give his life for his creation? Would you lift up your voice? Would you just say, God, I love you. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for mercy. Thank you for a way out. Thank you for love. Oh, I love you today. loves you. There's a God that believes in you. There's a God that says, I've got a better day for you. I've got a new journey for you. I haven't left you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you.
Thank you.
God loves you. God believes in you. Find two or three people, love on somebody, and say, let's make it together to this wonderful place called heaven. God bless you.